Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for listening to The Zurian Show. As always, we hope we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and good spirits. As for us, as always, we are doing fine. Each and every show, we try to bring information that people need to hear, want to hear, should hear, and all of the above. We may not always hit on every topic that everybody wants to talk about, but we try to, again, keep you informed with a lot of different things and different subjects to actually help you in your life, because I know each and every time that I have a guest or a host, or in some cases even just doing the research for some of the shows, I learn a ton of stuff, and I hope that you guys are also learning a lot of different things and that that stuff is useful. As always, we hope that the show is, again, useful and helpful, and that you're sharing our show with other people, which seems to be the case, because the show continues to grow, and we continue to not only keep the old listeners, but get new ones, which is really, I'm very humbled and thankful for that. Today's show is about motorcycle riders' positive self-defense. Now, motorcycle riders' positive self-defense, that may sound a little confusing to a few people, but hopefully we're going to straighten all of that out today. Matter of fact, not hopefully, we are going to straighten that out today. In the United States and around the world, the number of people that actually operate motorcycles is going up. It's going up to where I think in 2009 it doubled, and it's continuing to double again and again and again. Also, the number of not only men that ride motorcycles is not only increasing, but also the number of women who ride motorcycles is increasing. And I'm telling you, some of these ladies truly ride, gentlemen. They're not only skilled riders. These are people that go cross country, go into other countries like Canada, and I mean, there are really some phenomenal ladies out there riding motorcycles. And again, they can definitely handle their iron horses without question. You know, and one young lady who I've had the pleasure of actually speaking with and meeting on several occasions at several different locations is a lady that in the Buffalo Soldiers motorcycle community we call Miss Mel. I call her Mel, but Miss Mel. Miss Mel is just an awesome lady. Again, her and other ladies like her, like Butterfly, who rides across country. Usually she has somebody with her. B-Boss is another lady that rides from New Mexico all over the place and all over the country. These people are all out and about. But I'm not really stressing on women riders or motorcycle riders. What I'm stressing on is anybody that rides a motorcycle, anybody that's out there on the byways and highways, and especially a lot of the baby boomers nowadays are riding even more because they've retired. So now they've got that extra time. And, you know, some of them have always wanted to ride. Some of them were riding before, but they're actually operating these vehicles more on a regular basis. So with that said, we actually created a course called Positive Self-Defense for Motorcycle Riders. And what that particular course does is it hits on a bunch of different areas. It hits on awareness. It also hits on culture, which is an area that I'm finding that a lot of motorcycle riders are very weak in. I mean, I've been riding bikes for probably more than 30 years now, and it always amazes me how many people don't really have a good understanding of the motorcycle community. Because guess what? If you ride a motorcycle, if you operate a motorcycle, be it that you just do it in your local town or you do go cross country or to other places, you are part of what they call the motorcycle community. You may not be part of a club. You may not be part of a motorcycle club or a riding club. You may just be an individual riding. You may be part of a little group. You may really like Hondas or Victories or Harleys or Hondas. It really doesn't matter. If you're operating a motorcycle, especially here in the United States, then you are part of the motorcycle community, whether you're a man or a woman. So what I'd like to do in this show is touch on some of the areas that are of concern to me and are of concern to not only me but other riders that I've come across and had the opportunity to talk to, because that's where a lot of this information, the necessity for a lot of this information came from. It came from the finding that probably 98% to 97% of people operating a motorcycle in the United States don't know anything about the culture. A lot of the people that are operating a motorcycle in the United States don't have any really no real concept of self-defense or being able to protect themselves. So that means that they're lacking a lot of the awareness. Because, again, the motorcycle community is not a bad community, ladies and gentlemen. There are fine individuals out there that ride motorcycles. There are businessmen, businesswomen, you know, all the way down to laborers and high executives that ride motorcycles and some fine bikes they do ride. However, again, the reason for a subject like what we're talking about today, which is positive self-defense for motorcycle riders, is do you know the culture? Can you protect yourself if you're out there? And what are some of the things that you need to not only know but look for? What are some of the things you need to be aware of so that you don't put yourself in a situation where you find yourself in between a rock and a hard place, where you're now vulnerable, where you've exposed yourself and maybe your girlfriend or somebody else that's riding with you or some of your other buddies that may be riding with you because of your ignorance in the culture? And not only that, but your inability to be able to defend yourself appropriately against someone that may be more prepared to do something that you're not. So the show today is going to cover a bunch of different areas in the area of motorcycles, and I'm not really just talking about safety. I mean, everybody that's operating a motorcycle, should you get training? Yes, you should get training on how to operate your motorcycle. Not a question. Should you do proper maintenance on your bike? Of course you should do proper maintenance on your bike. That's not a question. Should you also consider, even if you've been riding for years and years and years, maybe taking a basic course again or taking an advanced course if you feel as though your skills are really like that? Yes, you should. Why? Because just like everything else, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't use it, and a lot of the skills that we're talking about, if you don't use them on a regular basis, they become weak. Everybody needs practice. Everybody needs to be better. You know, I was talking with a gentleman the other day that used to be a fighter pilot for helicopters, helicopter fighter pilot. And he used to do a lot of operations and things like that. And he's a retired lieutenant colonel. And he was saying the other day that, yeah, he'd love to get behind the stick again, but he'd want a little bit of a refresher and he'd want a little bit of time on it because it's been a while. And this is a guy that's only been retired for about 4, maybe 6 years. However, he understands because of the high level in which he used to operate that helicopter that he needs to get some training and he could use a refresher. And for him to just get out there and think that he can operate the latest and the greatest mechanized machine the way that he could, you know, when he was doing it every day, is different. And, you know, for a lot of us, you know, you really need to be humble and you need to think about what it is that you're doing, not only your safety but the safety of others, and also the fact that most of you have loved ones out there and they don't want anything to happen to you because you're actually out there operating a vehicle like you're some youngin' and you're going to live forever, and you know that that's not the case anymore. As most people get older, they find out that their ability and their reflexes aren't what they used to be. But anyway, on the positive self-defense side of it, ladies and gentlemen that are out there riding motorcycles, one of the things I'd like to talk to you about is your ability to defend yourself. Okay, I know everybody thinks that nothing's ever going to happen to me. I'm never going to get into an altercation. You're going to pump up. You're a big guy. You're a strong guy. Big guy, big lady, strong lady. You've got a knife. You've got a gun. You know you're going to call the police, whatever. your physical ability to take care of yourself is totally your responsibility. It is also something that, again, if you're not practicing, if you're not doing things to keep yourself in shape, all right, if you're not running, if you're not doing things to keep your muscles active and yourself limber, then guess what? You're not in the same physical shape that you were in before. You know, I also teach martial arts, and I found it amazing that there are so many people out there that have taken my classes, and I've taught over 1,000, probably over 2,000, 3,000 classes on self-defense and martial arts. And I found it amazing that so many people have never actually had a physical altercation. You know, again, I grew up in the inner cities, and in the inner cities, you were constantly fighting. So it's just interesting to me that so many people that I've come across have never had a fight. But that's fine. That's great, and it's actually noteworthy that they haven't. My problem is that if something happens, are you prepared? There's an old saying, it's better to have and not need than to need and not have. You know, we're in a new generation now to where, you know, a long time ago when people fought, it was different. But now, you know, you've got people that are pulling out at any given time knives, guns, other devices or tools that could be used as weapons. You know, there's over about 25 million Americans on the roads right now that are riding motorcycles, and that number, again, is constantly increasing. Some of those people aren't the good people that we talked about before. Some of those people aren't the productive people that are out there trying to, you know, just have some recreational rides, you know, before they go back to their jobs, or just trying to enjoy their retirement years and are still in good enough physical shape to actually operate a motorcycle. Some of those people out there could mean you wrong, just like you've got people out there that don't ride motorcycles but will try to prey on motorcycle riders. So, can you defend yourself? This is something that you really need to look at. I would advise everybody that rides a motorcycle, no matter how big you are, no matter whether you're in the military or you're in law enforcement or whatever, because anybody can get got, to consider taking a self-defense course or a self-defense program. And just something that's the basics. I'm not talking about you becoming a martial arts expert or any of that stuff. I'm talking about just basic stuff so that you know what's going on and so that you can actually defend yourself and be able to protect the people that you care about and mainly to be able to protect yourself. Another area that I like to talk about is motorcycle culture. Motorcycle riders are now, as I said before, whether you ride recreationally or you ride hardcore, you are now part of a culture. And that culture has different ways of looking at things, not only different slangs, but the whole different way of addressing things, attitudes. You know, there's different rules for different types of groups within a motorcycle organization. Like, what's the difference between a motorcycle club or an MC and what's the difference between an RC? You know, do you know that? You're out there operating a motorcycle, but do you know the difference between an MC and an RC? You know, what are the requirements for the probies, for those that are part of a particular motorcycle club? How should you address them? When can you address them? All of those different things. Some of these clubs are very, very particular and very serious about being respected or their members being respected. So the motorcycle culture as a whole, again, is a very serious thing. And that's why we've created a course called Positive Self-Defense, because we want to talk about the mindset. We want to talk about not only the mindset, but the view of the world, how the world thinks today. Because, again, it's not yesterday. We want to look at the different references that people use. We want to look at different perceptions that people have. You know, we want to look at the mindset, again, of each individual, and looking at the fact that awareness is going to play a key part in your ability to protect yourself and to safeguard yourself and the other people that you're riding with. Because whether you're in a club or not, when you're riding with other people, you're kind of a team. And you don't want any members of your team to walk into something that you created not knowing that you even created it. So the intent of this overall is to give you an overall of the structure and the philosophy of a traditional motorcycle club and ARC. You know, it's not necessarily to express that any one is better than the other, but they all have different, you know, ways of doing things, different approaches. You know, a motorcycle club's rules are usually a lot stricter than an MC's club. An MC club's rule, which is a riding club, that's what an RC. An RC is a riding club. An MC is a motorcycle club. You can show the difference because a motorcycle club will usually have a bottom rocker, a top rocker, a center patch, and they'll also have an M and a C on the left and the right. So there'll be an M on the left and a C on the right. That's usually a particular motorcycle club. An RC usually won't have all of those, or sometimes it'll be one whole patch, which is a riding club. Well, their rules, their regulations, their cultures are different because every motorcycle club and every riding club are different. However, a lot of the things that they do have within those two groupings are the same. And one of the biggest things is that with a motorcycle club, they are very serious on the club, that the club commands respect. All right? And those who aren't correct in how they deal with a motorcycle club can find themselves at a deep level of problems, because those guys have a lot more commitment. You know, they have self-discipline. And what I'm saying is self-discipline to the club's culture, you know, their club colors, all of those things. You know, a person that is part of a motorcycle club or a riding club, they should never leave their colors anywhere. Some motorcycle clubs and riding clubs, you can't put your vest on inside of a vehicle. I mean, there's a number of different things. So you've got the respect that the club feels that they should have because they're a club, and the unity and the respect of the individuals within their club. You've got the club's colors. The club's colors, to some people, it's pretty serious. You know, people will hurt you if you try to take their colors, or if they feel as though you disrespect their colors. Their colors, again, are the vest that they wear with the particular emblems of the organizations in which they belong to. You know, so you really want to be careful on how you address people. You know, and what I'm talking about is, like, let's say I'm African-American. I walk up to a gentleman and I go, "Hey, brother, what's up?" And he's riding. He's part of a club. Well, I'm not his brother by birth, okay? I'm not a member of his actual family. I'm also not a member of his club or organization. So that person could actually take offense of what I just said, even though I meant it as a term of endearment, as in "hi, brother." He may not see it that way, or she may not see it that way. It can cause a whole big problem. You know, a lot of guys, you may see a young lady that's dressed in motorcycle garb and she's riding a bike. She's got her own bike and she's looking really good. And she may say hello to you and you decide that you want to go ahead and talk to her. Well, guess what? If she's part of a group of motorcycle riders and they're present and they see you speaking with that young lady, that could cause you a problem. Why? Because they feel as though you just disrespected somebody that's in their club, one of their females. In a lot of clubs, you know, you may not have noticed this, but a lot of clubs, it says "property of." Those women, as far as that club is concerned, are the property of the members of that club. So if you're not a member of that club, you should not be addressing that young lady. You should not be doing any of the things that would be considered social to her, because she's not part of your organization. It doesn't even matter if she started the conversation. You have different levels of commitment. You have the purpose of their particular, you have their rules and regulations and their purpose of probation, and what their probationary people have to go through, you know, and their prospects. You've got the difference between a probationary member and a prospect or a probie. You know, you've got a difference in the sense that they have people that are called hang-alongs. And what does that mean? So there's a number of different protocols that are different between a riding club and a motorcycle club. And I would advise anybody out there that's riding to understand what they mean, how they work, how could it affect you. You know, what the rules are to actually get in. What's the things that you need to do? There's another thing that I actually want to bring up, too. Some clubs in different areas have issues with each other. Those issues are usually, there's a good chance that the local law enforcement know what those issues are. But if you're not active in a club, and if your club isn't active or have members of law enforcement in it, these little problems may be things that you walk into, not knowing that you're walking into them, but because you have no members of law enforcement. So again, riding motorcycles is fun. It's entertaining. You can have a great time. But again, what's the difference between an MC prospect? What should be expected out of an RC member? You know, motorcycle prospects strive to conduct themselves as being responsible, and they wear and hold their patches at all times when they actually have it, probationary patches. RCs also strive to be responsible and also to conduct themselves in a reasonable manner. However, the rules and regulations for an RC usually aren't as strict as I was saying before. You know, both are supposed to display a positive attitude. You know, both are supposed to participate in the events that the different clubs or organizations have. You know, both consider their patches to be very important to them, and they almost guard them. Most people also that ride motorcycles have riding names. Those riding names, when they're on their bikes, are, as far as they're concerned, the same as their actual real names. Now, getting into some of the nitty-gritty, there's a lot of guys and gals out there that are riding motorcycles, and they're carrying weapons. You know, they've got their carry permits, all of that stuff. If you are a motorcycle rider and you're carrying a weapon, understand that you need training with that weapon. Don't just take a course, all right? You've never actually fired the weapon and then start carrying it and thinking that you're going to be all right. Because like any tool, you need to know how to use that tool. Like any weapon, you need to know how to use that weapon. And the one thing that I think a lot of people take for granted is that you have a lot of people that carry weapons, and they may not be able to carry off pulling the trigger. They may not be able to understand properly maintaining that weapon and understanding how to take care of it. Some people that will get a carry permit that want to carry it from state to state also need to understand what the laws are. Not all permits are honored in all states. There are a lot of states that have reciprocity, and they'll let you carry a weapon, a concealed weapon, in that state. However, you can cross somebody's state line and be in a state that doesn't recognize it. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get out there and find out which states that you're going to be riding to will honor your permit. Also, there's another misconception for a lot of people that carry firearms. The people that carry firearms and think that because they have a carrier's permit, they can carry multiple weapons. A carrier's permit or a concealed carry permit is for one weapon. Let me say that again. A concealed carrier's permit, 9 times out of 10, is for one weapon, not multiple weapons. So you need to make sure that the municipality that you're going to be going through honors, or the state honors, your particular carry permit. You also need to make sure that if you have a concealed weapons permit, that that weapon is secured and concealed. If your weapon is shown to somebody and somebody calls the police, you can still be arrested for something called menacing. That means as though you were using the gun as a threat. That gun should never be seen, and no one should ever know that it was there. Then I get people that also ride motorcycles that want to talk about not only the culture and not only carrying a weapon, but they also want to talk about carrying something like CS, you know, or pepper spray, or stun guns. Again, if you're going to carry these things and you're riding a motorcycle, one, you need to be properly trained in how to use it. Two, you need to be aware of the laws and regulations in the individual states that you're going to go through, all right? And some people think that these things are games. Well, you can get arrested for tasering somebody. You can get arrested for pepper spraying someone, okay? And I don't know how long your vacation is, but if you end up getting picked up for one of these things, it's probably going to take longer than you have on for your vacation. It's also going to totally destroy your vacation time. So, again, a lot of these other things, other than firearms, you can buy in a local store. However, if you disperse it, if you use it against another human being, understand that you are now subject to the law. So you need to know what the laws are before you get on your bike, before you purchase that stuff, and before you get out there. Now, please understand, I am definitely a person that believes that it is better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6. However, you've got people out there that, I don't mean to say the wrong thing, but they're scary. Anybody bumps them, anybody knocks them, anybody says something wrong to them, they jump to a conclusion that they shouldn't jump to, and that could put you in harm's way. Another thing is properly securing your vehicle. I would advise each person, because you're going to be staying in hotels, you're going to be staying in motels, all right? One, should you ride by yourself if at all possible? No. I don't care who you are, man, woman, or child. You should have somebody with you, and you should be part of a group. And I would say a group of at least 4 people. 4 to 5 people. Should you maintenance your bike? Yes, you should maintenance before you go. Should you check your bike every time you get off it and every time you get on it? Yes. If you carry a hitch, then guess what? You need to be checking that hitch too, because the more you bring, the more you are now responsible for, and also now the more that can go wrong. Going back to what I was saying before about carrying stuff, anything that you carry as a tool, be ready to use it, and also understand the difference between when you should and shouldn't use it. Again, there are courses out there that you can take that go more into detail than I am now. As far as hotels, you need to make sure that the hotel that you're in is secure. You need to make sure it's in a good area. You need to check the area that you're in. You really need to do your research as you plan your trip. Can you take some ad hoc parts of your trip? Yes, but you need to keep those to a minimum and have a set schedule. You also need to give people contact information so that they can get in touch with you if something happens, or if you need to get in touch with someone, okay, so that people know where you're at, on a motorcycle, in a car, it doesn't matter. As far as the hotel, you need to make sure that the hotel is secured. If you can get little devices to help secure the doors, that's fine. If you're going to carry a weapon, you need to also have a hotel where they have a safe where you can secure the weapon when you're not carrying it. Okay, so that way there's nothing that happens to the weapon, because that weapon is, again, your responsibility. All right, as far as assault, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say something that most people don't understand and don't know. There are a number of people that are sexually assaulted, period. Doesn't matter whether you're on a motorcycle or not on a motorcycle. Men, there are a number of men that are sexually assaulted, and believe it or not, they are assaulted by other men who consider themselves to be heterosexual. Remember, rape is about power. Rape isn't about the act. Rape is about power. So, there's what, 207,000, is it over 207,000 rapes happen in the United States every year. Don't let that be you, because you're not aware and you're not paying attention. Don't write a check that your mouth can't cash, okay? There's a lot of people out there that talk a lot of mess, and they can't back it up. Don't get yourself into that situation. You're out riding to do what? To have fun. You're out riding to have what? A good time. You're not out riding to stimulate your ego. Let the fact that you're on a big motorcycle stimulate your ego enough. Don't mess around and do something with somebody that you're not prepared to deal with. So, motorcycle safety is one thing. Take care of your bike, take the training, get what you need to get, and get the training that you need to get. Self-awareness is another thing. Personal self-defense is another thing. Again, I'm not telling anybody to become a martial arts connoisseur. I'm not telling anybody else to be a Rambo. I'm not telling anybody to be a Bruce Lee. What I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is that you need to be aware of the culture. You need to be aware of what it is that you're going to bring with you. You need to know where you're going to go. You need to make sure that you have money. And that's another thing before I get off of here. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that, yes, I understand that your car is working, you got a ton of money in the bank, but make sure that each time that you ride, you have money with you. Why? Because electronics break down. Cars get demagnetized. All of these different things happen. And out on the road, it's not like you're just away right next to home. When you're shopping, be careful. When you're buying stuff, be careful. When you're securing stuff, be careful. Because understand that somebody is always watching you. And a crook is always looking for the opportunity to do what he needs. And And what does he or she do? They're crooks. So they're looking for the opportunity to find somebody that's not doing what they're supposed to do. So, again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. Be aware. Keep your eyes open. Be safe. Please have fun. Have a great time and continue to ride your bikes, but get the information and knowledge that you need so that when you ride your bike, you can ride it with confidence, real confidence, not some fake bravado because you've got the hottest, latest, whatever. Stop thinking that a gun is going to protect you. Stop thinking that the police are going to come and save you. Stop thinking that Superman or Superwoman is around the corner or that you are Superman or Superwoman. Do what you need to do to be properly prepared so that when a situation happens, you're prepared for that situation. But as I say to all of my students, if you don't want to get cast for the show, don't fit the script, okay? So don't fit the script. Don't fall prey because of ignorance or because of your lackadaisical attitude to not do what's necessary to make sure that you're prepared. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family, and you owe it to the other people that care about you. Anyway, if there's any questions about anything or if anybody would actually like to get a copy of our positive self-defense course for motorcycle riders, please feel free to contact us and we'll be more than happy to sell you a copy of the booklet. The motorcycle booklet is about 60 pages. There's also a DVD program that goes with that. But in the meantime, what I would say is get the booklet, get the book because it's not a booklet, and take that information and share it with other people. Again, it's great information. It could actually keep you out of a lot of unnecessary stuff and out of harm's way. And knowing is a beautiful thing because then again, you don't fit the description. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope that somebody or everybody got some good and golden nuggets out of this. So take care, be well, have a great day, have a great riding season no matter when you're riding, and enjoy yourselves and have fun. Again, be well, take care. See ya.